This is the Read to Lead podcast, episode 99.
Hi, I'm Bob Berg, co-author of The Go-Giver, a little story about a powerful business idea. Want a powerful podcast to listen to? You found it. It's the Read to Lead podcast with my great friend, Jeff Brown.
The reason why you're always chasing these new strategies is a competitive strategy is already too saturated, and so it's too expensive. Whereas you get a cutting-edge strategy, you might be able to get a lot of cheaper customers in.
Welcome to the Read to Lead podcast with Jeff Brown. Jeff believes that if you desire to achieve true success in business and in life, then consistent and intentional reading is a must. The Read to Lead podcast will not only help you narrow this ever-important reading list, but also bring you key insights and valuable feedback from some of today's most successful and inspiring authors. And now, here's Jeff.
My goodness, has it really been 99 episodes? That's the last time. This is the absolute last time there will ever be a two-digit episode. Well, actually, I guess it's always been three digits, hasn't it? Because I put that zero in the front. What was I thinking? Well, this is the podcast dedicated to your personal and professional growth, where each week we sit down with a successful and inspiring author and talk about his or her latest book and their expertise on things like leadership, personal development, productivity, career, marketing, business, and entrepreneurship. And in this episode, it's entrepreneurship that's getting the focus. We chat with Gabriel Weinberg. He's co-author of a book called Traction, How Any Startup Can Achieve Explosive Customer Growth. Now, before you say, Jeff, I'm not launching a startup, trust me when I say that advice from this book can be applied to a lot of different areas. I plan to ask Gabriel, for example, about the simple three-step framework for unlocking explosive growth, whether you're launching a startup, an online course, or trying to get a side hustle off the ground. I'll ask him also about some of the biggest mistakes to avoid when trying to gain traction. I also want to ask him about how our natural biases can adversely impact our success. All that and more coming up with Gabriel Weinberg. If you're on the Read to Lead podcast newsletter list, look for an email from me very, very soon that includes a short survey I would love for you to take as we attempt to improve on what we're doing in 2016. It'll be very helpful if you can take a few minutes to fill that out. That'll be in the next couple of weeks. If you're not already on our Read to Lead podcast newsletter list, joining it and our private Facebook group is as simple as sending the text Read to Lead, one word, to 33444. That, by the way, works in the U.S. only. If you're outside the U.S., you can join the newsletter list by visiting readtoleadpodcast.com and filling out the form at the right of the page. SoFi, by the way, a leading marketplace lender, is sponsoring the Read to Lead podcast. You can save thousands when you refinance your federal and private student loans at lower rates with SoFi. And you can take advantage as a listener to this show to a special $200 welcome bonus. Go to SOFI.com/readtolead to find out more. And the folks at UpDesk are supporting the show as well. When you purchase a desk from them, you're helping support Read to Lead and letting them know that they're supporting this show is a smart decision. You can find out more about them and check out all they have to offer at readtoleadpodcast.com/desk. Well, Gabriel Weinberg is the founder and CEO of the search engine DuckDuckGo, an alternative search engine that doesn't track searches and emphasizes their users' privacy. It's received more than a billion searches a year since 2013 and is growing rapidly. Gabriel and Justin Mars have co-authored the book Traction, How Any Startup Can Achieve Explosive Customer Growth. Well, Gabriel, thank you for being here and welcome to the Read to Lead podcast. I'm excited to get a chance to chat with you today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, I wanted to start off and address one issue for that individual listening right now who maybe doesn't have a startup in their immediate future. If they're working on something like, say, an online course and they want to gain traction for that, or maybe trying to cultivate some sort of side hustle, are there tips from your book that they could apply as well?
Yeah, absolutely. This is about universally getting traction for really anything. I mean, essentially, there are 19 different methods we identified that are pretty comprehensive in terms of getting traction for anything, and it can apply to a business or a side project or a venture-backed startup like DuckDuckGo, my startup.
Now, what would you say are some of the experiences, in addition to DuckDuckGo, that qualify you and, by extension, Justin, to write the book?
So I've been a serial entrepreneur since 2000, started a number of companies, was lucky enough to have an exit in 2006. And I've also been angel investing and advising startups for the past 6-7 years. Justin has a similar story. He has a couple startups that were acquired and ran growth at a few others. Outside of that, you know, we've been both involved in nonprofits. We've both been involved in our school entrepreneurship and kind of small business areas. And then we interviewed lots and lots of people in the research of this book.
That was one of my favorite aspects of it, is being able to see what you were able to glean from those interviews. Share a bit about what you guys call the three-step framework for unlocking growth and this metaphor that you use.
Yeah, so we use this concept of a bullseye. So it's like a target with the bullseye at the center. And the reason why we do that is what we found is in any kind of project that's trying to get traction, when it really takes off, there's generally one core marketing channel that makes it take off. So those are things like search engine marketing or trade shows or speaking engagements. And we use the bullseye because you're really trying to hit that bullseye and find that one channel in the center that will get you to your goal. So you start at the outer ring with all 19, and then you kind of winnow your way into that core channel.
Now, I love the examples that you share that come out of these interviews. I was wondering, in this case, if you could talk a little bit about how the company Mint leveraged this idea.
Yeah, Mint is a company, for those people who don't know, that helps you kind of track your finances. And it started, I think, in 2010. And within 18 months, it actually sold to Intuit for $170 million. It was an amazing, amazing run.
Yeah.
And this is an example, you mentioned the interviews, of one of the interviews we did. We saw time and time again people essentially doing this process I described, but on their own, before we kind of put a framework around it. And Noah Kagan, who was the director of marketing at Mint, what he did was he set a goal, a very explicit goal. They wanted to launch with 100,000 customers. And then he brainstormed all the different channels that they could possibly use to get those customers and tried to figure out, okay, which tests could I run to really validate whether that channel may or may not reach the goal? And so then he went and ran a bunch of tests. And from that, he tested some search engine ads, he tested targeting blogs, and he realized that targeting blogs was the best strategy that had the highest chance of getting them to that goal. And then they really focused on that strategy. And so they really did this experimentation, winnowing approach to find that core channel. And the only thing I comment on it is that he was very quantitative. So he put it all on a spreadsheet, and that is what we advise as well.
And through that blog strategy, that included, or blog channel, that included several strategies, am I right? Like ads and guest posts and that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So the key is, once you find that core channel and you do that by running these tests that are pretty cheap and fast, once you actually get to focus, then you want to run more tests within that channel to try to uncover like the best underutilized strategies. And they were very creative. They actually hit upon two strategies that worked really well that really hadn't been and done much before. One was, they had bloggers, they give them VIP early access to the product if they would put a badge on their site that said, you know, you should check out Mint and sign up. A related thing they did was, they would allow people, not just bloggers, early access if they would share. So in the same kind of context. And then the other strategy they did was, they actually reached out to lots of personal bloggers who had no advertising on their site and said, hey, we'll pay you $500 just to put an ad up on your site. And people were very willing to do it. They got really high conversion rates, and they got tons of users through that.
Well, what would you say are some of the biggest mistakes that startups make when trying to get traction, some of the missteps?
So the number one mistake really is not starting any of this early enough. So if you consider, let's consider the leaky bucket metaphor, right? So when you start your product or service or whatever you're trying to do, is a leaky bucket, in the sense that if you pour customers at the top, they're going to leak out because, you know, you don't have all the holes plugged. And people think, well, I really shouldn't pour customers at the top then until I got my product perfect. But But the problem is you can't get your product perfect without doing that little traction effort, because those people that are pouring at the top have fresh eyes. And so what people normally do is they ask their friends, they ask some beta customers, and those people generally are too close to you and they're framed by previous versions. And so by just listening to them, you actually don't find out where the leaks are. Mm. And people then launch, and then only to realize that their product or service actually isn't sticky, and they got to kind of do cycles again and again.
Mm. Well, I know everybody's situation is different, of course, but when it comes to this middle ring phase of the bullseye, what should we generally expect to spend monetarily and even time-wise?
It's a good question, because this is another thing that we saw people kind of struggling with. And so just take a step back. The point of the middle ring is to run three of your most promising tests that you identified in the outer ring. So the outer ring, you're brainstorming all 19 channels and you're trying to come up with some tests you could run that will do three things. One, figure out roughly how many customers you might bring in, how much they would cost, and are they the right customers? Are they converting? And so when you run those tests in the middle ring, you want to just do very cheap tests to accomplish rough numbers on those three things. So we give a guideline in the book, no more than a month, no more than $1,000.
You know, I was talking to somebody just the other day, and we were lamenting the fact that neither one of us was working in an area that our college degree had anything to do with. And if that's the case for you and you're still paying on your student loans, that can be a tough check to write every month. Well, the folks at SoFi want to make it a little bit easier for you if they can. They support the podcast. They're a leading marketplace lender, and they offer student loan refinancing, mortgages, and personal loans as well. So if you carry high student loan balances, you could save thousands by refinancing and consolidating your federal and private student loans at a lower rate. SoFi borrowers save about, on average, $14,000 over the life of their loans. I don't know about you, but I could find a lot of things to do with $14,000. So in addition to savings, SoFi members benefit from unemployment protection. So should you lose your job, SoFi pauses your payment and provides access to a career services team for personalized career planning and job search assistance bonus, right? So to check out a full list of products and benefits, just visit SOFI.com/readtolead, especially now, because for a limited time, and as a listener to this show, you're eligible for a special $200 welcome bonus. That's $200 in your pocket when you refinance your student loans with SoFi. One more time, that address is SOFI.com/readtolead. And by the way, all loans made by SoFi Lending Corp, NMLS number 1121636, and CFL license number 6054612. Well, then, okay, I've drilled down. I'm in the inner ring now, and I'm continuing to test and retest. So what are the main things that the inner ring tests are then designed to do?
So let's assume that you ran the three tests in the middle ring, and let's say you did, you know, trade shows, some PR, and maybe some Facebook marketing. And you decide that, you know, Facebook marketing was by far the most successful, most likely to reach your attraction goal, whatever that is. So now you're deciding, you hit the bullseye, you're focusing on Facebook marketing. Now what you're trying to do is figure out the cutting edge, and you're becoming the expert at what are those, you know, new strategies. And the reason why you're always chasing these new strategies is a competitive strategy is already too saturated, and so it's too expensive. Whereas you get a cutting edge strategy, which maybe, you know, people are talking a lot about Facebook video, you might be able to get a lot of cheaper customers in. And so really that's the goal, is to then run tests to figure out how to really maximize use of that core channel.
How important is it, Gabriel, that we leverage online tools that we all have access to help evaluate the success and how well our traction efforts are going?
I mean, I think it's the same thing as the spreadsheet, which is the basic online tool. There are great number of useful similar online tools just to help you with this process, and I couldn't suggest them more. And the reason is the more quantitative you are and try to get real numbers around some of this marketing efforts, the more likely you're going to be choosing the right strategies. Mm-hmm. And even if you know, a lot of the channels we suggest are actually offline channels. So, and those are often some of the greatest ones to do because they're the most underutilized. So like offline ads and speaking engagements and even running your own conference. But even if you do those things, I still think you should use online tools to help understand whether you're actually delivering the value you want.
Well, talk a little bit about what you mean too by your critical path and why you think it's so important that, that we are sure to define that for ourselves.
This is another thing to your question earlier that a lot of entrepreneurs just starting out really get wrong. And, you know, it's very simple. It's that when you're an entrepreneur or starting any new project, there are a million things you can think of to do. Just infinite, right? You could spend time, you know, doing your accounting and doing X, Y, or Z or going to this event or that event.
Right.
And how do you know where to spend your time? And so this is a way to think about that. And in particular, it relates it back to what your traction goal is. Because if you can't get traction for your project, you know, it's going to die. And so you figure out what that goal is, and then you figure out what is the path to get to that goal. And that's usually very specific things. I'm going to do, I need to build this part of the product or service. I got to do this marketing effort. Everything else, just don't do. that's the simplest. It's really hard to do though in practice because, you know, all these things are kind of nagging at you as, you know, it's kind of like out of sight, the opposite of out of sight, out of mind. These things are jumping up, asking for your attention. You got to actively push them away.
I just signed up for a service, a financial related service earlier today called Digit. I don't know if you've heard of Digit before.
I have heard of Digit, but I have not used it.
And I'm seeing a lot of startups, a lot of companies in the early going leveraging things like AppSumo, maybe offering certain services for free and putting the word out via AppSumo. Are you familiar with AppSumo? I think it's also a Noah Kagan.
I am. Yeah, that's his next company.
Are you seeing a lot of companies leverage that successfully to gain those early users especially?
Yeah, absolutely. They have another product called Sumo Me too that's like an easy drop-in thing on your website that helps people share. And its main benefit to me is it helps you build an email list. Mm. And so one of the channels in the book that we identify of the 19 is email marketing. But regardless of whether you focus on email marketing or not as any channel, it still makes sense to help build an email list over time.
Absolutely.
Because it's so easy to do. You just drop in this thing on your website. And as people leave your site, you ask them to enter their email if they want. And over time, you know, that happens day in and day out. You end up with thousands of emails.
I use it myself and highly recommend it. Well, you've hinted a little bit about this, but share a bit about what you call natural traction biases, if I can get it out, and how those biases can adversely impact our ability to gain traction. You talk, I think, specifically about the three reasons a lot of founders ignore potentially profitable channels.
Yeah, I mean, and to be clear, of all these mistakes, I've personally made them several times. These ones are really the hardest ones because the basic bias is availability bias. Like you're used to things and you think about things that you know about. And so, for example, my last company grew through SEO, search engine optimization. So when I came into this company, I was like, oh, you know, I'll use SEO. And that's a very common thing to bring your experience from your last jobs into your current job. The problem is that the underutilized channels are usually the ones that take off in an industry. And so if you're coming from an industry that uses search engine marketing all the time, and then you start a business and try to do the same thing, it's generally that you're competing with the incumbents. You know, there's 19 different channels. And when people just brainstorm themselves about what to do, they usually do what they see just around them. And they don't really think about the ones that are out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. And even further than that, there are some that people just find icky for various reasons. Like some people don't like sales. Most people don't like public speaking, right?
Right.
But the reality is if you start a project, those channels may be the ones that'll take your business, you know, to the next level. In particular, public speaking. For a lot of businesses just starting out, just trying to get those first customers, you know, speaking at the right place at the right time could get you those customers overnight.
Well, that relates to another question I wanted to ask you anyway. When it comes to public speaking, What are some of your tips for being sure that you deliver a talk that people find impactful and one that's going to be memorable?
Public speaking is difficult, is the bottom line. But the shortcut, if there is one, is to appear authentic and, you know, to connect with the audience in some way. And to do that, you know, it usually involves some kind of story. And so if you think about whatever talk you're doing as a story with a traditional story arc, beginning, middle, end, and has some kind of emotional component, if you can do that and relate it to yourself personally, then you'll come across as authentic and you'll generally, you know, connect with the audience.
Well, I'm wondering, Gabriel, if you could name for us a couple of books that are your favorites, books that you've read or maybe you're currently reading that have impacted you, and share maybe why or how they've impacted you as they have.
Yeah, I really liked the book Predictably Irrational by Dan O'Reilly. And it is a behavioral economics book about how we are just irrational. And, you know, there's a lot of those books at this point, so I'm sure any one of them are similar. You'll get similar things across. But, you know, I think it's important to realize that, you know, we're not rational in a lot of ways, and how we're not. I just finished another book called Outliers CEOs or Outsider CEOs. I forget the author now. It was an audiobook, and it was a really good book too. It followed eight kind of unconventional CEOs, including Warren Buffett and a bunch of others. And its basic tenet was, you know, they outperformed all the market and all their peers, was that they just did unconventional things. In the same way we're talking about traction strategies, it's like if you want to stand out, you have to do something different. It's a very simple message, but it was illustrated very nicely.
Well, back to your book, I love how it takes about the first five or so chapters to kind of lay out the plan, and then the remainder of the book is going into detail on each one of these channels to help you best leverage them. What's next on the horizon for you? What are you and your team working on now that you're excited about, or are you just relieved to be able to get the book out here in a couple of weeks?
I'm definitely relieved to get the book out because, you know, my day job is running a search engine called DuckDuckGo, and that is largely my focus, figuring out how to take that to the next level. And honestly, we've run the same process from the book six times now at DuckDuckGo, and we are in the process of running it again and trying to find another core channel that will, you know, make us grow to the next level.
Excellent. Well, thank you again, Gabriel, so much for being a part of the show. I've learned a lot from the book and intend to apply many of the things I've learned to some side projects I'm currently working on. So it's been very helpful to me, and I know it's going to be helpful to a lot of people. So we really appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you. It's really my pleasure.
The book is just a couple of weeks away from release, but is available for pre-order right now. To find out more about it and to place that order, you can go to readtoleadpodcast.com/099. That's also where you'll find the show notes page for this episode, where we list the links and resources that Gabriel and I mentioned. You can connect with Gabriel, if you'd like, on Twitter. He's at YEGG. That's YEGG on Twitter, at YEGG. Please remember our sponsors, SoFi.com, SoFi.com/readtolead, and Updesk. Find out more about them at readtoleadpodcast.com/desk. I want to say thanks to Alfonso Fortino from Canada, who left a recent 5-star rating and review in iTunes, calling it a great podcast. Thank you so much, Alfonso. And a couple of reviews on Stitcher as well. One from Tactical Sue with 5 stars. Thank you, Sue. And Karen Bensley with her 5-star rating and review, calling it her weekly taste of good books and authors. Doesn't say anything about the host, though. Don't know what that's about. Thank you so much, Karen, for your 5-star rating and review. If you'd like to leave a rating and review in Stitcher, just visit readtoleadpodcast.com/Stitcher. Or if you download your podcasts via iTunes, you can rate and review us there. And this really helps get the podcast noticed. I cannot overemphasize that. Visit readtoleadpodcast.com/iTunes. That does it for this week. I certainly hope you will join me next time for episode 100 of the Read to Lead podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to the Read to Lead podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Become a vital member of the community. Visit us on the web at readtoleadpodcast.com. Until next time, remember, leaders read and readers lead.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.